97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back. It's Dee Lynam and Joe Torti right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Saw a good picture. I wasn't watching the Cowboys-Lions game, Dee, but I saw the Cowboys kicking off after a touchdown from the Lions 35. So that was exciting.
How did that happen?
We're reading the recap there. The use of helmet penalty on a play that scored a touchdown. It's 15 yards. Then on the extra point, it was unsportsmanlike conduct. Another 15 yards. So tack on 30 yards of penalties and your onside kick from the 35.
Oh, my goodness.
It's good stuff.
All right, I just saw this stat. Patrick Mahomes has a 6.0 passer rating on passes of 10-plus air yards at halftime. He's 1 of 7, 31 yards, and has an interception. So just, hey, everybody has their days where there's some trouble.
Obviously, 63 yards in one half, the lowest of any half of his career. Yeah, everybody's got a day.
Yeah,
everybody's
exactly.
Got a day. He just doesn't have that many.
No, but you know what I'm saying. When people think that we're picking on a poor performance, it's just trying to evaluate what happened in a day where you had a chance to get a victory when all you really wanted to do was split, would take a little pressure off of what's coming up ahead of you this weekend with the Seahawks coming to town.
Well, isn't it worth it too, Dee, to take a look at it and see, is this just a blip or is this like the latest chapter in what's turned into like a repeating pattern for both the Eagles or Aguilar or Carson Wentz or whoever it is? Because I do think like you can look at it and say, yeah, the Eagles have won some games and lost some games where Carson Wentz has thrown for under 200 yards, but he's thrown for under 200 yards in a lot of games. Like, there's a lot of games where he's not lighting up the scoreboard.
On a big picture note there, though, I would say when their backs are against the wall, I do feel like they come out with a victory that keeps them afloat in doing. Like, for instance, it won't surprise me if they do beat Seattle.
Right.
Because they do know the situation.
Yeah, it's a backs against the wall kind of deal.
It really is.
Yeah.
We'll see.
If I didn't give credit, I thought I did earlier, but T. McNasty 215 is tweeting in when he was confused, saying that I was saying that Dak Prescott has a stud running back. That was coming from Darius Jennings' tweet. I thought I gave Darius proper credit, but if I didn't, that was Darius' tweet. Because I did say that Jerry Jones could live to regret the Zeke contract relative to not paying Dak.
Well, he's going to have to pay Dak.
Yeah, he's going to have to.
And he's already paid Zeke, so it's just going to be a lot of money out of his pocket.
That means that you could be looking at Amari Cooper, because he's probably going to be the odd man out.
In a heartbeat.
You got it.
Make
them worse, make you better.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't like Amari Cooper, for the record. I don't like him at all.
How about those two catches last week?
Really good catches. They're really... Look, I'm just saying.
You talk about Nelson Aguilar and dragging the feet, lack thereof. That guy had those two where he knew exactly where that white line was. He didn't even have... A hair couldn't have fit between his feet in that line.
Yeah, so you got to give me a little bit of a break here.
All right.
Because I've had years of Oakland Amari Cooper that I've watched, and he's been a different guy in Dallas.
For half of last year this year.
Looked really good. And this year when he's been healthy, he's been good as well. So I'm sorry to T. McD on Twitter, but that's the way that that's the way the cookie crumbles. I thought that I laid that out there. But in the event that I didn't, there we go. Now, the Eagles, so that's a perfect example. We were talking about what they can do. Color me crazy. I just don't have any faith in the Eagles' ability to analyze wide receivers and to scout them properly and things like that. Even in this upcoming draft where there's a million of them and it'd be really hard to miss, there were a million running backs in 2017 and you found the one that can't help you. So,
was that Pumphrey?
Yeah, that was Donnell Pumphrey. Yeah.
And I'm soon going to forget his name, so I have to say it out
keep
loud.
Remembering it.
Exactly.
So, in the event that you don't get one of those guys, like Amari Cooper would be an ideal signing.
Will that cost a ton?
That's probably going to cost a ton.
Yeah.
Robbie Anderson's the other one. Like, so if you get both of those guys.
You could have traded for him. I thought you could have
during the mono time.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
When the Jets were totally falling off. They don't want to get rid of him now. Now he's doing the leap into the stands and stuff like that. So, I think that ship sailed for this season. Let's go to Chris in Williamstown next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Chris.
You know, Joe, Devon, Deke, wow, I'm so used to you working with Devon, Joe.
Yeah, so, yeah,
Dee,
Mondays.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
I'm sorry. I love you, Deke. You know I do.
Oh, Chris, I got no problem.
And, you know, it's kind of funny, Deke, because I wonder how many people knew the Sixers even played yesterday, and they had a 20-point lead for a majority of the game and never turned back. Like, that was a 76ers team I've been expecting. And
yes.
To see them do it against a crap Cleveland team, okay.
I couldn't for some reason, because I was watching the Eagles game. I was first driving in my car, but for some reason I could not stream it because it was on the other NBC station. So I had to go strictly by a box score.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Dee. You missed a good game.
I have it taped.
Yeah, there you go. You and the coach can watch it together. You know, when I look at this game yesterday, I see so many, like, tell me if I'm wrong. Do you guys think this looks so much like year one Carson Wentz team? Even from the respect that you've got Jordan Matthews and Nelson Aguilar, you're just switching out Dorial Green Beckham for who they played on Sunday.
Arcega-Whiteside.
Yeah, Arcega-Whiteside. So is he not just a Dorial Green Beckham in this whole equation? Like, I'm so scared to death, Joe, that this line with Jason Peters, and he is such a liability at this point. You know, if you don't draft linemen in the next 2 years, there's something wrong, because this line is just falling apart at the seams. When Jason Kelce doesn't look himself yesterday, Brandon Brooks kind of just, he probably played well because you didn't really hear his name mentioned. But the rest of the line is just such a liability for
Chris, we're kind of running into the problem, right, where you're talking about it's a crime if they don't draft linemen, and it's a crime if they don't draft receivers, and it's a crime if they don't draft linebackers. You know what I mean?
Happen.
Well, see, I'm going to say this, and I don't ostracize me, because I think it is this.
Never ostracize you, Chris. Never.
No, I got you, but you will after I say this. Is it really gotten to the point of desperate that we may have to sign AB?
The only thing is, Chris, that the league is going to step in the minute.
I would say no.
And they're going to step in and
commissioners list them.
Right, commissioners list them, so it's a lot of hassle to not even get the reason you'd be doing it is because you need somebody who can catch a ball.
I just don't think you have enough to really trade for somebody without really losing something that you're going to miss. Once you trade them, you're never going to recover. That's the team's Achilles heel. It never recovered from Frank Reich in the first year. It never recovered from losing LeGarrette Blount. This team never can recover when they're down. Like, so many times do I see this team, when it gets put in a hole, they just don't know how to find their way out. And it's so concerning, because Carson Wentz, I think he's going to get ruined under Doug Pete. I really do. And I think he could be great, but I think he will be mediocre in this system.
Chris, thanks, man. Appreciate the phone call.
I don't know if it's just Doug Pete. If Howie doesn't shape
surround
up a
him.
Roster
yeah.
soon at some point.
Well, I mean, nobody wants to hear this, Dee, but like, we've been touching and dancing around it. Like, the truth is, there's a cost to be paid for what the Eagles did. Like, the Eagles went all in on their Super Bowl season, traded pieces of the future in order to get there and things like that. And then after it, probably more telling is that you paid a lot of people that were associated with it.
That probably should not have been paid.
Yeah.
All because you thought you could do it twice in a row?
Right, well, right, yeah. So it's like you
and
almost...
you thought that the familiarity of how you got it done in 2017 would carry you.
You're getting the band back together.
Yep.
Like, that's pretty much it. And it's not that I don't
and
like
selling
Alshon.
Out every arena.
Well, of course. Well, we got to talk about that for one more thing. I don't want to go too far, because I don't want to oversell the one more thing. But look, I'm not saying that I don't like Alshon Jeffrey, or that I didn't like him after the Super Bowl, or that I didn't like Brandon Graham after the Super Bowl, or that I didn't like Jason Peters, or that I didn't like Darren Sproles. It's that you have to know that you will live to hate those contracts when you're signing them. Like, you have to know. And it's clear that Howie said, all right, I'm looking at it from two ways, right? One, I want to reward guys who have been loyal to us, who have helped us bring a Super Bowl to Philadelphia. And two, these guys might be our best chance in the short term to execute on this new norm thing.
And why was last year such a slow start? Because even though Carson was hurt, Nick had gotten you there.
Yes.
You bring a lot of it back. There were some other guys coming off injury, too.
It's true.
Yeah, but slow start.
Really slow start.
I mean, and now you're staring down the barrel, and you bring your starting quarterback back. That didn't really work in anybody's favor.
No, he had the broken back.
And,
you know?
Yeah.
And by the way, Detroit has the sense to sit their quarterback down when he has broken bones in his back. And they're like, you're not seeing this guy for like 6 weeks, so don't even ask. I don't know. Why are we even bringing this up? Why does it matter? Because you got to track how you got here. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
So that you don't repeat the mistakes.
That's exactly it.
Correct your mistakes.
Because there are people that said last year, this year, that the Eagles have the most talented roster. They have the best weapons.
I can't believe I actually said that this summer.
I mean, you weren't alone. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, we got to figure out how
national
how
people
this
were saying that.
Yeah, exactly. You heard it on ESPN. You heard it on Fox Sports. You heard it on CBS. Vegas. Well, I mean,
I'm disappointed in myself, Joe. Man,
you do hold yourself to a higher standard. I do understand that. But man, oh man, like watching it now.
Yeah.
It's like I don't want any of the wide receivers that they have now back.
No.
Like, if you want to have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside come back because he's a rookie, all right, I'm willing to go down that road. By the way,
I'm glad you brought him up because Tim McManus was on here Friday, I do believe, or does he do it Thursday with Mikey Miss?
Usually Wednesday is the midweek report.
Oh, okay.
Usually.
All right, so that was going into the game against the Pats.
Uh-huh.
And he said, like, something had clicked for Arcega-Whiteside. He now gets it. He was studying film and the playbook, and mm-hmm. I mean, he's like, I think you're really gonna see. He was out there for the one catch.
Yeah, and it was a big catch, but I mean, it was just one.
But
it wasn't a coming out party.
No,
not at all. Deshaun Jackson, I'm good. I think
you can't do that.
I'm good on that.
Alshon, bad for the guy, but I mean, sorry, emotions got to go to the side.
Same thing with Alshon Jeffrey. I'm also good. I'm also good on that. Like I.
But when you do this, Joe, now you are blowing it up.
Yes.
And
that's the problem.
It does take a lot of work. And are you going to be able to build a competitive roster with that many changes? Because you're on a window. If you believe you are trying to get back there. In a short amount of time.
All right, so if I'm Sam Hinkie and I have to explain this to ownership, right? So if you're Howie Roseman, you have to go to ownership. You point to Seattle, right?
Yes.
Seattle had their team together. They had to pay Russell Wilson. They ripped the team apart and they put it back together. And their rebuild was quick and relatively painless, right?
That is true. And Russell's still in his prime.
Still in his prime. So that's the decision that you have to make.
Okay.
You're like, we have to cut all of it.
I'll go with, I totally agree with that.
You know?
I'll if you sell me like that, I'll do it.
Yeah, that's almost how you have to do it. You have to say, this is how we're going to do it. This is the model that we're going to follow.
Yep.
But in Philadelphia, it's a hard sell to be like, hold on, sit tight.
Well, wait a minute. There's nobody who's going to say that you would prefer what you have going on right now with the Eagles over the hard sell of blowing it up. Everybody calls in and says these guys are so old.
It's true. I mean,
then part ways.
610-632-0975. Speaking of too old, Chris tweets in. Chris from Williamstown. Are you both concerned that Ajayi didn't see the field? He's not that far gone enough to not give you something. I would have been very concerned if Jay Ajayi got any kind of plays walking off of the street against the New England
Patriots.
You're
in a hat.
I would have had.
And had only been with, I think that was maybe 36 hours, right?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. If he's getting plays, it would have spoken to me that, like, oh my, Miles Sanders must be terrible. Boston Scott must be terrible if Jay Ajayi is getting reps over these guys.
He should not have jumped to the front of the class.
Yeah, that would have been bad. 610-632-0975. All right, I'm surprised I didn't get any pushback from you on the blow it up and rebuild it in a couple of years thing.
No, well, because I don't want to continue to watch this. This is not a Band-Aid isn't going to fix this.
So I guess that is the
surgical
question.
Surgical procedure is necessary.
Yeah, and there's no such thing as minor surgery.
Successful surgery.
There's only successful. I've never heard any like coach stand up there and, you know, we set him under the knife and we tried, but
Dr. Andrews performed unsuccessful surgery today on so-and-so's knee.
Yeah, we tried. He doesn't have a knee anymore. Could this have been caught, corrected,
sooner?
Or fixed ahead of time before we got to this point?
I definitely think at the wide receiver position.
Okay, I'm with you.
I think you could have made different choices. I'm not saying you not do the Deshaun. I've said to you, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to have had a backup.
Insurance.
Now, if then the response to my response would be, well, that's why we have Mac Hollins. Well, you don't
really,
One, he's not good enough, and two, you don't believe in him like that.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Now, people point to the other one is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside being selected ahead of D.K. Metcalf.
Oh, I know who you're going to see on the weekend.
I don't think that D.K. Metcalf is going to hold any ill will towards the Eagles, but if he has a 100-yard receiving game and a touchdown, like that's all.
You won't be surprised about that either.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't be a surprise. It's hard for me to crush them on that because everybody passed on D.K. Metcalf. He had neck injuries in college and stuff like that. Like, those are things that you're like, okay, well, maybe not if I'm going to be investing millions and millions. But there was never a question about the talent. That's why I'm it's hard for me to kill the Eagles when it comes to putting together this roster, because having everything go wrong at the same time, you should have seen some things, but it's been, you know, quite a journey here in terms of what they've had to deal with.
Well, I mean, a couple of you didn't. Malik Jackson, you didn't anticipate.
Right.
Zach Brown.
Yep.
Didn't work
out.
Gave you nothing.
You expected to have Craven LeBlanc while Jalen Mills was on the mend and stuff like that.
And he's still missing.
Still missing.
Yeah, so there's some that were unexpected. Your secondary, you know, having to go with Sidney Jones for a while. But that also exposed for you, stop believing in that. Okay, you invested high pick. And it's not worked out for you. So move on.
It was worth a gamble. The only mistake is like continuing down that path when you could be moving on to something else.
Moving on. Yeah.
So, I mean, I say that it's worth the gamble, but that 2017 draft is going to be a thorn in the side forever. 610-632-0975. I want to turn to the Sixers, as we promised before the last commercial break. Who did kind of right the ship, even though nobody saw it, against the Cleveland Cavaliers yesterday. And they've got this stretch now where they're taking on the Knicks. You should expect to feel good about that game. And then the Spurs come to the Wells Fargo Center. So, I mean, it could be a stretch here where a lot of the concerns, quote-unquote, that we were talking about kind of get relieved here. But the Sixers are sitting at fifth in the Eastern Conference, and there are still, I would say, questions about what their gelling process has been like, and their outside shooting, and it kind of says all of the things that you and I laid out, D, months back, where it's like, hey, what could go wrong? The things that we laid out have kind of gone wrong in the early going, even though the ship clearly isn't sunk.
Yeah, no, it's not sunk at all. I mean, they're going to be a very good home team.
Yes.
The road is a little concerning to me, because that's what separates the really good teams, you know, from better than mediocre, you know.
Yeah,
I'm not saying
sure.
that.
But, like,
but they were below 500
nice
on the road
teams.
Last year, and you need to be above 500 on the road to be able to achieve the things that they say they want to achieve.
And is that a style thing? Is that an attitude thing? Mm-hmm. Like, how does that come together?
Well, some of the things you brought up, the chemistry issues. I mean, I don't want to hear about how you may not look like you have chemistry, or we look good together until Christmas, when you keep using load management on some of your players. In addition to Joel, it's been done with Al Horford. It's fine if you choose to go down that path, but please don't then give me the excuse that the reason you lose some of these games is because you haven't had enough time together.
Managing the load.
You have made made that your choice.
Yeah.
And the other thing is we were sold that they were going to, the reason they were going to be so good in this league is because of their defense, and their defense has failed them. Take away yesterday's game. They crushed Cleveland. I get it.
It's a bad team.
But their defense has been failing them in a number of those losses. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games, and their defense has not been up to snuff of what they said they were going to be able to be.
Well, Dee, when it comes to the defense, I watched early in the season, and I thought, okay, teams aren't ready for this. But now that the team's defense has been kind of put on film, yeah, you're not likely to see a starting five the size of the Sixers. But once you get over that, mm-hmm. there are things the teams are doing to take advantage, clearly.
Definitely. And because I also don't think they are a team that can outscore you. So what do people do? They get back in transition, and they force them to get into a half court. And as soon as you get into the half court, you see the problems with Ben's game,
right?
Which is a, you know, not a new problem. Josh Richardson has not shot. He was 2 of 11 yesterday. Shot the ball well. Tobias came out of his shooting woes. He was 12 of 14 yesterday, but he still is not making 3-point shots. He and Josh have really struggled from the 3-point line, and so eventually, how you stretch that floor? You know, they have really gone hard to see if they could grow a Bulma in Furkan Korkmaz, and Furkan has had some success. Obviously, the game at OKC went right at him at the other end, and he got exposed a little bit. But I don't fault Brett at that choice, because people were like, why didn't he bring in Matisse Thybulle for his defense? Well, because if you had Matisse and Ben on the floor at the other end, where is your scoring coming from?
Right, exactly.
You have two liabilities now, and then, of course, Thybulle goes out yesterday and gets some buckets.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Speaking of getting buckets, 610-632-0975, there are people to point out, Ben Simmons, double-double life again. 10 points, 4 rebounds, 11 assists. My buddy Coffee Jones, who's my color analyst for Penn Football and several things.
That's a great name, yeah. Coffee Jones.
Yeah, yeah, there he is.
That's celebrity status there.
Plays hoops at LA Fitness. I said, what are you trying to do, Coff? And he says, I want to get 16 points. I said, why 16? He said, I should be able to get 2 buckets a quarter. Right?
Yep.
That's all 16 points is. So I'm like, huh. I never really thought about it in those terms.
Sure.
There's no reason that Ben Simmons shouldn't be able to get 2 buckets a quarter. What do you mean you're giving me a 10-point, 11 rebound performance? Ben Simmons crushing it again.
Over the course of the season, he's going to average between, you know, 17, 18 points.
Yeah, he'll be right there.
He'll be right around double digits, or 9 boards and 8.5 assists. That's who he is.
You played Cleveland yesterday. Tobias Harris is going off. Ben Simmons didn't need to do that much. So I'm you know, mostly tongue-in-cheek. I just wanted to share that. 2 buckets a quarter. That's what you should get. 610-632-0975. Jake, we're going to talk to you about Howie Roseman next. It's D-Line and Joe Torti on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back. D-Line, I'm Joe Torti. 97.5 The Fanatic. Hanging out together until midnight. We've been talking Eagles, talking Sixers. Plenty more to get to, so let's get to the phones with Jake in Harrisburg on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jake?
Hey, D and Joe. Always nice to talk to you, too.
Likewise.
You as well.
Well, I want to eventually get to a little bit of the Seattle game, but I'm going to start off on Howie Roseman. I put a lot of the blame this season on Howie Roseman and the lack of accountability, with the sense that he brought in DeSean Jackson but had no one else backing DeSean Jackson that had speed. But he drafted a guy behind Alshon Jeffery with Arcega Whiteside. So he didn't trust the health of
Alshon,
but he trusted the health of DeSean Jackson, who's even older. And when you look at the Eagles and you look at the years of success, or the year of success mainly, with Carson Wentz, it was because of a deep threat that he was so successful. Without a deep threat, he's been an average quarterback for most of his career. And I'm not saying that Torrey Smith was an amazing deep threat, but he was a good enough deep threat to open the field. And that made I'm not saying that's completely the reason Carson Wentz had a good year, but that's a big reason why. And Howie did nothing to bring in the second guy in case DeSean went down. And that's huge, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, Jake, my problem is that you saw what it looked like with Torrey Smith, and then you saw what it looked like without Torrey Smith or Mike Wallace last year. Like, I feel like that's enough of a sample size where you're like, okay, we have DeSean Jackson, but what happens if he goes down? To your point, I think that you're dead on.
Yeah,
it's
Mike
an
Wallace
indictment.
Didn't play at all last year.
Exactly.
So we didn't have a deep threat, and you saw what that looked like, and you saw what it looked like what a caller brought up earlier, how the receiving corps is so similar to what it was Carson's first year, where we said all year, he doesn't have weapons. Well, we got him weapons, and look what he did. But the main weapon that we got him was a deep threat that opened up the field. And I know how he tried to do that in bringing in DeSean, and I understand the philosophy behind that, and I was happy with it. but you have to draft somebody behind him because he is older and he is injury prone. So that was a big, big mistake. I do like Howie, and I trust in Howie a lot, and I like how he schemes and he works with the numbers and stuff and gets that all together. But in the art of bringing back guys like that are like Sproles and stuff like that, I think Howie needs to get over his love affair for certain guys and look at the numbers and crunch the numbers when he brings on somebody. But anyway, I want to get to next week in Seattle. I think you hit it dead on the head, D, when you said that the Eagles play with their backs up against the wall, because I was just looking at the line. The Eagles, depending on where you look at it, the Eagles are actually 1.5 to 2.5 point favorite.
Yeah, I saw the 2.5.
Against Seattle next week.
Yep.
Yeah, I've seen different lines. Now that line, depending on Alshon being healthy,
it can move.
That line can move easily. Yep. But as of right now, that actually surprised me to see the Eagles have the advantage. Now, one of the other reasons that they may have it besides the backs up against the wall is because usually West Coast teams coming in, even off of a bye, don't play a 1 o'clock game. But because they did the movement from the night
flex
game, they flexed to the 1 o'clock game. A West Coast team is coming in and playing at what is their, you know, considering 10 a.m. I wouldn't be surprised if Seattle comes early because they're coming off of a bye and gets maybe adjusted to the time difference because of that. But that could be a reason why the line is what it is right now as well.
Good stuff, Jake.
I said yesterday that I would fully anticipate they'd fly to sleep here Friday night and Saturday night.
Well, because supposedly, right, that people say that the biological clock, it takes a day to adjust an hour, right? So, like, if you're here for a couple of days, then you're pretty much on target if you're Seattle. Look, I mean, they're just a well-disciplined, well-coached team. They've got veteran leaders that they're going to be ready. Like, I don't think that the sluggishness is going
to
be.
I'm curious, when the teams go to London or Mexico City, do they alter their traveling accordingly?
It's a good question. I don't know.
I didn't pay attention to when the Eagles went to London. Like, I don't remember
what the travel plans were and stuff. Yeah. Sometimes the minutia.
Yeah.
Gets to be too much.
Exactly.
You know, I'm 100% with you there. Howie Roseman not making decisions to bring in deep threats. I thought that Jake went from one name, Deshaun Jackson, to another, Darren Sproles, that are directly related. Because you don't have the ability to hang on to a luxury wide receiver.
Right.
When you're busy, you know, hanging on to pass rushers and offensive linemen, if you keep Darren Sproles. That's a luxury position that you didn't need.
And you didn't need it and shouldn't have. But again, you talked about emotion being attached.
All man crush team. Number one is Darren Sproles, right? Did you hear Doug Peterson talking about Sproles' injury?
He's been
this stud for this team. Number one, first place all man crush team is Darren Sproles. And then Carson, you talk about how aggressively he defends Carson Wentz. Did I have him number two or number three? Jason Peters is up there. Can't remember who I had.
But you said yesterday that Peters got back there pretty quick. But I understand what you're saying. It's time.
It's looking like it's time.
I think so.
610-632-0975. Now, I have to give Doug Peterson a ton of credit for 2017. I have no earthly clue how you won a Super Bowl with Vitae as your starting left tackle. Well, I have no idea.
Because he looked different than what you saw yesterday.
And last year. Like, it's... I don't know what happened to Vitae. I don't know if you were hiding him. I don't know if you gave him a lot of help. I don't know what happened, but holy smokes. That's a credit to the Eagles offensive line coaching staff, to Doug Peterson, because I'm watching it yesterday. I'm like, this guy's getting trucked by everybody. And I'm looking on the other side, and Dillard looks okay by comparison, and he's also getting his lunch taken, but it doesn't look anything like the other side.
But again, if this is the case and you just brought up two names, then run the ball. They would appreciate it, and you'll probably appreciate it because it'll look a little better than that.
And by
the way, I don't know if you listened to the postgame show, but Brandon Brooks was asked about, were you surprised that y'all didn't run the ball more?
Mm-hmm.
I don't call the plays. I have to go with what they... I mean, it was
telling. So we have it. We have it. This is That's good stuff. This is what he said. We'll get there. We'll get to it in a second. All right, D-Train's digging that up from the depths of the computer.
Sorry, I just remember seeing it, and since it was coming up about the line.
He's been good, by the way. Yeah. Brandon Brooks has been by far their best player relative to what he's expected to be able to do. I mean, I think Jason Kelsey's had a nice year.
He was not happy yesterday.
Well, I don't think a lot of them were, but no, Jason but meaning, Kelsey in particular.
He normally will have a conversation post-game. He said, I have only one thing to say. I have to be better. I got to look at this. And then somebody tried to ask. He's like, I really have nothing else to say. And he walked away.
Well, there you go. Here's Brandon Brooks.
I'm just hitting when the plays that coach calls, man. Yeah.
Is that frustrating, though? Because you guys were moving the ball on the ground.
As an offensive line, I think we always want to run the ball. But, you know, nonetheless, you got to do what's called.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Well, there's two things in that. One, I do what I'm told.
And we always want to run the ball.
We always want to run the ball. So now you have two guys in there, one with very little experience, the other a guy who's now struggled for a year plus in Vitae.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. But let's make it even harder on them because...
Well, so let's lay that out, by the way, because, I mean, if you just hear that, you might think that it's a macho thing. It's like, oh, we want to run the ball and impose our will. It's not always about that. It's about when you're pass blocking, you're getting hit. And when you're run blocking, you're going and hitting people. Like, right. One of those is way more fun than the other one, right? Like, you don't want to get teed off on over and over again. So it's not just like the macho thing you want to dictate to the other team. You want to go on offense. You want to fire ahead. And that's the Eagles have been good at that. They've been good at that, especially on the interior of the line. Brooks can speak to that because he's been a road grader, a beast for them. And yet, here we are again talking about Doug Peterson not running the ball enough.
Right.
Feels like it's a broken record.
And we found, I found the Miles Sanders on the first drive of the second half.
Mm-hmm.
No gain. On the second drive of the second half, he did run it twice.
Okay.
And
so
then, but then it's it. There,
so
he
got one more carry the rest of the way.
One more carry the rest of the way.
Wow. Makes you wonder, like, are they just disenchanted with the run game? Is it Sanders himself? We saw plenty of Boston Scott, even though it wasn't like a run-heavy plan in the second half.
Yeah, he had 7 for 26 yards.
I don't know if we've seen enough of Deuce Staley in the running back rotation, but I feel like enough questions have come up. Like, I feel like in Kansas City, you're not hearing about, like, how come you use Damian Williams instead of LeSean McCoy in this situation? You know, and granted, those guys are good backs, but...
But let's just go back to yesterday could have been fixed in terms of the running game had Jordan Howard been available.
I hope.
Yeah.
Unless it's Jordan Howard not getting any carries, well, and Jordan Howard getting 3 in the second half.
That couldn't have happened. Yeah,
this is the 2019 Eagles D-line, and what do you mean that can't happen?
Well, I just feel like they had found a little bit of a groove with those two.
I thought so, too. And especially in a game where, like, you've got winds blowing at 25 miles an hour and nobody's throwing the ball well and stuff like that. It seems like it would have been the contest for them to kind of be the road grading team. And who knows, maybe the Patriots are ripe for the taking there, and you've been good at stopping the ground game. That's the problem that I have, is that they didn't get blown off the field. Like, it feels like it's self-inflicted things that really hurt them. And every single week you're like, oh, the Eagles just shot themselves in the foot. This week it was really true. Really, really true, because it was right there for you. And it's not like you were playing catch up the whole way.
Yeah, and I would say Carson's 5 sacks, Carson's fumble, coupled with not one or two of those defensive guys
possible
who had possible IMTs. Interceptions.
Uh-huh.
Not one or two happening.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean,
little things like that in a one possession game, any part of that sentence is, if that's different, we might be sitting here saying it went to overtime.
There were 3, right, dropped. Like, could have been interceptions? Were there 2 or 3?
There were 3 that they showed.
Did those drives end in points for the Patriots, or was that part of the punt fest? I can't remember. I'll have to go back and look and see if any of them jump out. 610-632-0975.
Well, the one that was McLeod's in the end zone.
Yes.
So that one didn't. I mean, that ended in points.
Right. That could have been a swing.
And I didn't put the Jenkins one where the call was weird. I didn't put that in that category.
Right. And then Jalen Mills had the other one, right?
There was one that looked like Mills. He might have had a pick six on it if he didn't drop it.
Okay. So, I mean, even if it doesn't end in points for the Patriots.
It could have been points for you.
The other way.
Right.
It's D-Lineham and Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Dan tweets, not even at us, just tweets. It's D-Lineham and Joe Torti, 97.5 The Fanatic. Am I the only one who watches NFL games and compares teams' weapons to how bad the Eagles' weapons are? No.
No, you're not alone.
No, this has become a weekly thing for us. If you watch Red Zone, it'll just make you angry.
No kidding.
These toe taps. And
catches, unbelievable catches.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, garden variety catches, like standard stuff. Not even like, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, my God, how did he do that kind of situations. But no, Dan, I feel for you. You are not alone. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. D, wanted to talk to you about the Sixers as well. We got derailed on Howie Roseman as well. We should, because obviously Howie has a lot to do with the way that the team's currently constructed, and that's kind of where the issues lie. The Sixers have been a team that traditionally has changed the roster makeup over the course of the season, whether it's the buyout window or making trades or whatever it is.
In the Brett Brown era, yes.
Yes.
Certainly. Some of that had to do with acquiring assets during the process.
Yes.
And then certainly last year, I'll give it in Elton's time, he was very active and knew, seemed like he had a plan of what he wanted to do. And in the Colangelo time, he was great at picking up Bellinelli and an Ersan Ilyasova.
They helped.
That were available after the trade deadline had passed.
Yes.
He didn't even have to give up anything for it. So, yes, they've been very opportunistic in correcting something on their roster in a given moment that has worked out and not cost them down the road.
Right. You're not mortgaging anything.
You're not mortgaging anything.
What I'm driving at is I would anticipate if there are issues with this Sixers team,
shooting wise,
they'll be corrected well ahead of playoff time. Well, not corrected. They'll be addressed well ahead of playoff time.
Things have changed slightly because now you do have to make a move, meaning if you do it, trade something.
Right, yes.
Because some of those other situations, certainly the ones with Bellinelli and Ilyasova, were you had cap space to take on whatever you wanted.
Yeah, you don't really have that now.
You don't have that now. So can you move a guy? Sure. But, you know, your movable contracts that others would like, because you don't have really expiring contracts.
No.
Of any of your important heavy-duty pieces, right?
Right.
Where people like to get that cap space after the year is over. That's not happening
yet. Right.
So you have the
the Simmons Tasty contract, right, which is $9 million, and then like $1 billion after this. Tobias Harris just signed.
Yeah,
Al Horford just signed.
Oh yeah. Like, no, you're starting five. Forget about it. Josh Richardson would be appealing to somebody because he's still on that extension.
Right, transition, you know, kind of deal.
He has this in the next year.
Uh huh.
But he might be the one you wouldn't want to give up because of that.
You're not doing it to Mike Scott, right?
I mean, depending on what, if he's not shooting for you and you need a shooter, it may be your only option.
Could be your only, okay.
I'll tell you what I would do before, and you're going to see this before they get to trouble. And again, a Shayok might be able to get you some points.
Yep.
The guy who just got, you know, player of the week down there in the G.
In the G, yes.
Yeah, in the G. Now, whether he can keep a guy in front of him any more than a Furkan. And Furkan had been actually being okay defensively.
He was at least committed. He was at least like trying.
I mean, the OKC game looked bad at the end.
It did,
But other than that, shooting will be an issue. Or, you know, defensively you figure things out in terms of how are you going to make the staple of who you said you were be more consistent on a daily basis?
Yeah.
And a lot of what you said was that you were not defensively going to be drastically different by the makeup of your roster this year when Embiid went to the bench. And so you went and you got an Al Horford, you got length.
Statistically, though, that hasn't been true.
No, I know.
It's really, we've talked about his sphere of influence, really, really hard to replace what he brings to the table defensively.
Totally agree.
Really hard. However, to what we were saying before, I don't think that that would be the area that they would address, right? They would think that they kind of have that covered anyway with Horford and with
Saying you were going to make a move that way. I was saying to avoid having to make a move, then you must consistently be the defensive juggernaut you said you were going to be.
Said you were going to be. I got
you. On a consistent basis so that you win the games you're supposed to win and you're in all of them.
610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Blowouts haven't really been a thing for the Sixers much. I mean, not early on. And that's kind of what we expected with the defense. But the questions about the outside shooting have kind of continued.
Well, and the guys that you thought were going to make shots have not. So, at some point, Tobias Nelly's had two good games of shooting a high percentage.
Maybe he's coming out of it.
12 of 14 against the Cavaliers team, but I think he took 3 3-pointers yesterday. Now you could say to me, well, I don't care as long as he's scoring points and getting to the basket and scoring 27 points. Why should I care?
People don't want to hear that about Ben Simmons, though.
Well, if he's scoring 27, they would be fine.
I guess that's true.
They would. But in the case of Tobias, that's fine because you could get to the rim against the Cavs. When Miami's here on the weekend, who's, third best team in your conference, which I'm not sure if that's supposed to be the case, or he's just doing another good job of coaching down there.
Like he always does.
And Jimmy Buckets will be with them and, tell me he's not going to get in front of some people and make it a little more difficult for them to score. But my point being, one of those two, Tobias or Richardson, is going to at some point have to be able to consistently knock down an outside shot.
And not least of all because that's what we were sold, right? We were told that was kind of going to be the way that that the outside shooting would come along for the Sixers. 610-632-0975. I'm also watching the Spurs because I'm always looking ahead. Spurs
They got beat.
They're getting Doncic'd.
Yeah, and they'll be dropping to 5-9.
Yikes.
No, honestly, I said when they set out on this path coming back from that West Coast swing where they had lost, dropped to 5-5, is that right? 5-5, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, that they could run the table on their next five or at worst go 4-1. I think it's going to end up being 4-1 because I think you absolutely beat the Knicks at home on Wednesday, and you absolutely beat San Antonio when they come to town on Friday.
To a good start there.
Yes. Now, when Miami comes to town, that will be a back-to-back situation in a Friday-Saturday. We all know what that means.
Plus the
somebody's sitting.
Plus the Butler return.
Right. It better be Embiid sitting on Friday night against San Antonio, and he better be available for the Miami game. Because I think you need to make a statement. You made decisions in the offseason, and you chose to build with Tobias being one of the cornerstones. And I'm assuming, and we've had that little kind of Jimmy send you little cryptic messages, Butler. Uh-huh. But I'm assuming you made the choice of Tobias over Jimmy, and now in that game, I want a statement against that Miami Heat team.
Jimmy's the X that keeps an eye on you
and
maintains contact.
Yeah, like still following you on Instagram.
That's exactly it.
What are you looking for?
What are you checking out, Jimmy? What are you doing? 610-632-0975. I want to ask D-Line about load management, the favorite term of everyone in the city of Philadelphia. That's coming up next right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.